Hello and welcome to the Law of Sacrifice. Every one of us needs an ideal. We need an image of the what's possible in order for us to have a visceral experience, a feeling inside of us that there really is a possibility for us to become more. For over 100 years, Abraham Lincoln has served as such an ideal to many young American kids. Now, Lincoln came from very humble backgrounds. He didn't have a lot of money. He was in a very, very simple upbringing. And yet there is that quality of Lincoln that inspires us to seek for the more, to reach for greatness ourselves. You know, there isn't one of us who could say that we haven't had as many opportunities or talent bestowed upon us and within us that Lincoln had. Yet what was it about this man and the way he lived his life and the way he made his choices that brought about such a demonstration of greatness that it would inspire us down through the channels of life, down through the quarters of time, to reach us even this day? It said that Lincoln's soul began to grow from the seed of thought that was placed in his mind by his mother when he was just a small boy. And his mother made it a point to teach him whatever she could while she was able, but she became ill while Lincoln was still young. When she realized she was dying, she called her family around her. She placed her hand on Lincoln's head, and looking at her children and family, she said to them, "Be good to one another." She felt that she had given them everything she could, and this was her last message, "Be good to one another." And then she died. She might have dreamed, but she had little understanding or realization of what her son, this little boy standing before her that day, would become. Now, Lincoln was quite young at her passing, but he never forgot her. And she taught him a lesson that he carried with him throughout his life. She taught him that the beginning of wisdom is not imposed by discipline, but the beginning of wisdom is first the desire for discipline, the love of discipline, the voluntary choice of discipline. And he learned that discipline is the high road that leads to everything that makes life worth living. There's a principle here at work, and that's the harnessing of our powers towards a desired end. Otherwise, if you take water and you channel that water, it'll turn a turbine and create electricity. But if you just let it go everywhere, there's no power from the same amount of water. So you go to a concert or an opera today and you listen to a voice that absolutely captivates the audience. How do these voices happen? They do not happen. They don't just happen. Granted, they may be especially gifted, these people, but those magical moments that happen are not coming from chance or accident, but from discipline. Discipline that is consciously chosen, ardently desired, and patiently persisted in.
I really believe that the words sacrifice and discipline are totally misunderstood. I have come to understand sacrifice as not as losing something, but gaining something. I see sacrifice giving up something of a lower nature to receive something of a higher nature. I spent a number of years in the Navy, and I thought they were teaching me something about discipline when actually they were punishing me on the parade square for not doing what they told me. And they called that discipline. I have come to learn that discipline is when we give ourselves a command and then follow it. And you know, you're going to need discipline if you take and study this piece of scripture that Raymond Hollywell has included right at the beginning of the lesson from Matthew. He said, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be who find it." I believe that's talking about the law. And there's very few that find it that really understand the law because they don't study, they don't discipline themselves to do that. And you'll often hear it said that we're an undisciplined generation of people. I don't believe that's true. In every realm of life, we enjoy the fruits of disciplined research and toil, which results far greater than our forefathers ever dreamed. Hollywell said that he would never forget the thrilling experience he had one evening sitting in his home before a cozy fireside. He said the radio was beside his chair, and as he casually reached over, turned it on, and selected a prominent station, he said to his keen surprise, he heard a voice calling Richard Byrd in the Antarctic regions at the South Pole. He then said, I heard the commander tell of the hazards and difficulties they had met the day before as they unloaded supplies and hauled them to their new home, Little America, over the slope of broken ice and drifted snow. Had he written a detailed report and sent it by letter, it would have taken months to reach us. Yet here, in less than a second, his voice vibrated through the air, and I, like many others, heard him report the happenings of the day. Now, the old miracle workers never dreamed that such as this could happen. Happen? That's not the word. Discipline. That is it. It was painstaking, scientific, technical discipline that produced such a result. You know, we might ask ourselves, does it have to be painstaking? Well, I think it does, and I think that's what stops most people from doing it. You see, what we're really doing is we're forming new habits. And to form new habits, we have to change old paradigms. We've been programmed with the wrong information. Other people may have been responsible for making us who we are, but we're responsible for changing it. And it's going to cause a respectable amount of discomfort. But that's where the sacrifice comes in. You give up a little discomfort, and the win is enormous. When Marconi suggested that he was going to send a message just through the medium of the molecule, he wasn't going to use any wires, they had him checked into a mental institution. And yet here we are, a long time ago, Raymond Halliwell, listening to a report coming in from the South Pole. You see, we're not an undisciplined generation in any realm except one. And that's in our thinking. In science, in art, in athletics, in any practical endeavor, we know the worth of discipline. Yet we let ourselves go. We just do not discipline ourselves to think the things we have to think. That's why it's pointed out in that piece of scripture, straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be who find it. It's just a matter of disciplining yourself. That's why there's so few who find it. Like 1% of our population earns 96% of all the wealth. Why do you think that is? Everyone has the same opportunity. We've got to give up the TV. We've got to give up just hanging out. We've got to give up just laying around or shooting a game of pool or playing a game of golf. And we've got to take and discipline ourselves to study, gain an understanding of how our mind works. Let's really grasp this idea that we're studying here of how to learn to live in harmony with the laws. When we do that, we've taken control over our life. We take control over our life through discipline. Discipline is giving ourselves a command and follow it. I am going to learn to control my thinking. I am not going to let the outside world take charge of my life any longer. Most people are playthings for what's going on outside of them. Let's change that. Let's be one of those small select group that does gain an understanding of the law and then learn to think in harmony with the law.
You know, Bob, I heard a story once about this law of discipline, and the story went this way. There was a man who went to the bank to cash a check, and he went to the teller, and he handed over the check, and he said, can you cash this check? And the teller said, yeah, I can cash the check. Just put your name on it. And the guy said, whoa, wait a minute. I don't want to put my name on that check and hand it to you. You'll be holding my check with my name on it, and you might not give me the money. And the teller said, you have to put your name on the check before I can give you the money. And the guy said, well, couldn't you just this once give me the money, and then I'll put my name on it? And the teller said, no, that's not how it works. How it works is you have to put your name on it first. They argued back and forth. Finally, the teller said, I can't help you, sir. You're going to have to leave. He went to a second bank. Again, through the same routine, he was refused service. Went to a third bank, got into the same routine, again said, couldn't you just give me the money and then I'll put my name on it? And this young teller tried to explain the policy and how it worked. And finally, he just had it with that guy. And he reached down underneath the teller's cage. He pulled out a rubber baseball bat. He whacked him on the head and he said, sign the darn check. So the guy signs the check and he hands it over and he gets his money and he goes back to the first bank. And he walks up to that teller and he says, look, down the street, I got my money. And the teller says, yeah, but I bet even down the street you had to put your name on that check before you got the money. And the guy says, yeah, I did. But you see, no one ever explained it to me the way they did. And the reason I like that is we go to the teller of life and we say, I want the life I want. And the universe says to us, okay, put your name to it. Bring your I am to that vibration. But we don't want to trade the lower vibration. We want life to give us what we want, and then we think we'll put our name to it. And this lesson is about how we must surrender the lower vibration, match the higher frequency that is in harmony with what we say we want. And as we begin to resonate with the frequency of what it is we say and vision that we really want in life, life is a generous giver unto any one of us who place our I am in harmony with the frequency of what we say we want. There is one simple fact. Always something has to be sacrificed for something else. Everything in life has its own price and is ever up for the giving if you and I are willing. We have to purchase that, though, at the price it demands. Day after day, we go up to life's counter, is how Raymond Hollowell says it, and say, I will give you this if you will give me that. This bartering has another name that is more familiar. Perhaps it's called sacrifice. Sacrifice, then, is not what we've heard through our different religions. It is an inescapable necessity. It is a definite law that we must obey. We are sacrificing every day of our lives, whether we want to or not, whether we know it or not. No matter what we want of life, we have to give up something in order to get it. If we think about going to a great concert and listening to music that is almost divine, or if we watch a skilled surgeon at his delicate task of repairing a broken body, or if we consider a scientist in his laboratory with his scientific formulas, or if we think of a great person who has created a business that makes such a difference in the world, or we think of Admiral Byrd flying over the South Pole and talking to us by means of a radio, are such experiences life? Well, indeed they are. Liberated life of an attained achievement is the most satisfying sort of living any one of us could ever know. Straight is the gate, narrows the way of discipline that leads to such a life.
Taking these basic principles into consideration, what's come to my mind was many years ago when I really first started to teach this in any kind of a big way with corporations. I called on the Prudential of America. It was the largest insurance company in the world. And I found that on a survey I took of over 5,000 insurance agents, less than 3% of them were in front of a prospect before noon. Most of them weren't in front of anybody until the evening. They had never had anyone of their district agents in over 100 years, well, it was close to 100 years, that had written $5 million a year in business. And I thought that the reason for this was they weren't going to work. Now, they thought they were going to work because they would go into their office and they would be busy doing whatever they were doing. But they definitely weren't selling insurance to each other, so they were getting poor results. Now, I have learned that people on commission, if they're not in front of a prospect, they're unemployed. And so I got that idea across to them. Then I showed them how we're programmed to live in a certain way. And that program is either going to give us good results or bad, but it is a program, and it's been installed in our subconscious mind. And when they started to understand how the mind worked, and they started to take a look that their life was really a series of habits, then I showed them if they just changed two habits, their whole world would change. Now, I said, I don't know what you're doing prior to 9 o'clock in the morning, but I'm going to recommend whatever it is that you change it. And then I want to recommend that you be in front of a real live prospect, skin to skin, shaking hands, not on the phone, with them before 9 a.m. Now, to do that, they had to give up something. I don't care if it was sitting around the kitchen table hugging a cup of coffee. They had to give that up and get in front of a prospect. So they had to give up whatever they were doing, and then they had to discipline themselves to do something new. That is a basic strategy for altering old paradigms or old habit patterns. Then hardly anyone was selling over $25,000, $30,000 in insurance in these days. Now, this is many years ago. I had them commit that they would ask everyone they got in front of to purchase a minimum of $100,000 of insurance, which was probably at least what they needed to properly protect themselves. So what happened here? Well, let's think about it. They had to make a sacrifice. They had to give up sitting around the kitchen before 9 a.m., and they had to get in front of a prospect. They had to give up one thing to give the other. You cannot sit around your own kitchen table hugging coffee and be in front of a prospect at the same time. So you got to give up something, and then you have to apply discipline in your life to do something new. And that was one step. The second step, they had to stop doing whatever they were doing and selling policies, and they had to ask the person to purchase a minimum of 100. So there was two habits they had to change. What did they have to do? They had to give something up, and they had to discipline themselves to do something. Do you know that the sales in that region went up by hundreds of millions of dollars over the coming year? Now, as a result, I worked with that entire company all over North America. That's what this lesson is all about. The lesson is, what do you really want? You sit down and decide what you want, and then you take a look at what you've got. Now, what are you doing to get what you've got? You're going to have to change some of those things. So you've got to make sacrifice. You've got to let some things go to receive something of a higher nature. So the entire lesson here of sacrifice is one of growth. I believe the way most of us have been programmed, we look at the word sacrifice and we think of giving up, of losing something, having less. When the truth is, the exact opposite is the truth. Sacrifice is giving up something of a lower nature to receive something of a higher nature. That indicates growth. And how did he start out with his quote from Matthew? Straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life. Now, there's a basic law that governs the universe. It's grow or die, create or disintegrate, live or go in the other direction. So if we want our sales to go up, if we want to feel healthier, if we want to build more meaningful relationships, if we want to grow our company, what are the rules? You got to give up something and replace it with something new. You've got to be involved in sacrifice. Let go of something of a lower nature to receive something of a higher nature. And then we have to discipline ourselves to do the new thing that's replacing the old. This is a marvelous lesson that has to do with growth, regardless of what it is. It's like I say, is growing our relationships, growing our income. I could take anyone and work with this lesson, no other lesson, just this lesson, gather a bit of information on them, get them to sit down and take a look at it, and then personalize it, bring it into their own life, and say, what are my results? What do I have to do to improve the results? What do I have to stop doing so I can do these things I have to do? Sacrifice and discipline are two very important principles in growth. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads unto life. Few there be who find it. Why? Very few people will understand what I just said because they don't think. They're going by the old concept, sacrifice is losing. They don't want to make sacrifices. They like it just the way it is. And so they stay where they are. They're locked in on a frequency that's not giving them what they really want.
That is so powerful, what you just said. And even as you're saying it, I'm thinking in my own life right now, it isn't that I don't have discipline, and it isn't that I haven't patterned that to a great degree in my life. And if anyone looked at my life, there is evidences of the discipline that I have brought to bear on these laws of life. And yet the yearning in me for the next version of what's possible, the difference that can be made through the application of these laws. And I look at some of the little choices that I have made even recently, Bob. So I would just encourage those of us that are listening right now is to take this lesson personally.
What you're saying is essential. Because I believe there's a lot of people that are in your position or in my position because we teach this, we think we already got it. I have watched people come into this business, and because they're in the business, they think they've got it. The truth is, you've never got it. You're always getting it. So you've got to continually be learning it.
The first time I began to really understand the principle of the law of sacrifice, someone suggested to me to think about the game of baseball. And that in baseball, you sacrifice a first baseman for a home run. You never sacrifice a home run for a first base. They are always sacrificing the lesser for the greater. And so when you look at what it is that is more expansive to you, which is what it is you want to bring in, if it was selling, having more sales, if it was a relationship, having the relationship be more fulfilling and powerful and life-giving, no matter what version or frame of life you're moving yourself into, is lean towards that which is more life-giving, get a good picture of it, the ideal or a Lincoln image. What's a Lincoln image of your relationship? What's a Lincoln image of some area of your life? And then what is in my current experience, my thinking, my action, my behavior, my choices that is incongruent with that image? Sacrifice it through the practice of discipline as I harmonize and order my life to be a direct reflection of that which I am seeking. Hollowell used the word, and you underscored it, painstaking. And the question I asked was, does it have to be painstaking? And you said to me, yes. And I think even as an adult person, there's still a little kid part of it. Well, can it just be easy? I guess the underscore of that is it is easy if we practice the art of discipline, because all the back and forth and all the struggle we do with life goes away. When we just put our name to that check we say we want, it flows easily.
I think Abe Lincoln was an excellent choice that Halliwell made to put a point across right at the beginning of this session. Lincoln knew something about discipline, but he also knew something about another area that most people fall short in. Lincoln was not a popular guy when he was president. He's popular now, many, many years after he was president. He was the president during a wartime, and he wasn't a military man. So he wasn't treated properly by the generals of his day, and many of the government leaders treated him terrible. He never let that bother him. I remember a story I read where I think it was General McClellan. He wanted him to do something, and McClellan wouldn't come to see him, so Lincoln went to see McClellan. And McClellan wasn't there when he went, so he was asked to wait in the parlor. So here's the president waiting for the general. The general came in, just looked at him sitting there, and walked right past him and went to bed. And someone said, doesn't it bother you that they treat you this way? And he said, no. He said, I'll hold the general's coat if it helps me win the war. See, he had his values in the right place. He had his objectives, he had the goals, and he knew the rules of the game. Lincoln's mother did him a big favor. She taught him some of the very basic rules that most of us miss and we've got to get. And so that's where the sacrifice and the discipline comes in getting these rules and then incorporating them into our habitual way of living. It's a paradigm shift.
It's a paradigm shift.
The way Raymond Halliwell ends this lesson, I think, is appropriate. He puts in Invictus by Henley, one of my very favorite poems, and I'm pleased that I'm able to share this. Out of the night that covers me, black as a pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeoning of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade, and yet this menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishment the scroll, I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. I love it. This is Bob Proctor.
And Mary Morrissey. Thank you.